Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm with the man with the mic, Kyle. Welcome to this Tuesday edition. On this edition of the conversation, the state-run media, is it on a mission to discredit or derail Trump? Washington Post Deputy Opinions Editor Kelly Riddle was on Fox and Friends, basically stating that if you listen to this program, you'll know what the answer is and my thoughts on that. There was also a girl by the name of Robin McFadden from Georgia that got a surprise when she was at a Publix in Georgia. Had her groceries paid for by one Jeff Foxworthy. I want to get into also these college students that are saying that they need to have like a sanctuary space from student loans and we're going to have final exams, so we need to have a sanctuary place where we can run to so we don't have to have people come after us to take our final exams or pay student loans or anything. Lord help them. Also, in Austin, Texas, they've done it for 28 years. There's 100 bikers that get together and they do a huge bike ride and toy run to give toys and stuff and collect things for needy children and things. It's just really, really great. There is a sign that's going around with Trump's logo that says, "Make Christmas Great Again, Skip Church." It's by some atheist organization. Lord help them. They need God. It's amazing how they're going off on Trump for talking to Taiwan, but courtesy call. And Obama's gone down to Cuba and talked to Fidel Castro and done all that. No one cares. Everyone thinks it's all hunky-dory and great. Love that double standard, don't you? That much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. James 1:2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Think about that as you're going through the rest of your day today. And welcome to this Tuesday edition of the program. I don't get it, all this. I guess I do get it because it's been going on for years and years and years. But there's talk about how Trump is saying, F the media, I'm just going to use Twitter. And I kind of agree with that because we're getting to hear what he's saying. If he puts his foot in his mouth, he puts his foot in his mouth. If he says what he wants to say, he says what he wants to say. We're not having to sit there and have 90% of the media outlets, you know, cut and paste what he says to try to get their opinion across or their view across. He's going on Twitter saying, okay, this guy, Ben Carson, is going to be the HUD director. The housing and urban development person. According to them, yeah, this is what gets me. I can be there for 50 days on the double standards in the media. Obama goes down and hangs out with Fidel Castro in Cuba, and that's nothing is said about it. But let me tell you something. Taiwan calls and kind of says, oh, congratulations. A democratically elected person calls and congratulates him on becoming president and, you know, all this. And they're like, how dare he talk to that lady from Taiwan and da da da, all this bull crap. It's nuts. You had Kelly Rindle. She joined Brian Kilmaid on Fox and Friends, I think it was Saturday morning, and she's like, you know, she's the deputy opinions editor for the Washington Times, and she kind of feels like the liberal media, which what they're doing is trying to discredit, derail Trump. They don't care what he's done, good or bad. They're going to try to find some way to put him down. Okay, I'm under the understanding, I could be wrong, but with that carrier thing, they had kind of a mutual agreement that they're going to work on bringing these jobs, that we're going to go to Mexico, not all of them, because there's like 1,600 or something, that we're going to go to Mexico, bring back like 1,000 of them. You know, there was no in stone piece of paper signed concrete deal, at least as far as I knew. I thought it was, hey, you know, this is what's going to happen. We need, you know, you do this, I'm going to do this. We need to change the way we work. You're going to go ahead, take these jobs to Mexico. I'm going to put a 35% tariff. No one's going to want to buy your car. No one's going to want to buy this product because they're going to, someone's going to have to pay that tariff coming back in here. How many ships come here from China full of goods? Tons. How many leave? How would you think of none? Hardly any leave full. Why not? Sam Walton, I worked at a video update, which was a video store. We could not have adult videos in the store at all because of contractual obligations we signed because we were close enough to a Walmart. You couldn't do certain things. Like Walmart, you used to not be able to sell liquor. They used to have made in America only products. Not no more. You know, when are we going to start having our products go to China and the other countries to use? Not that we don't have products go to other countries, but for the most part, a lot of it doesn't. I mean, it's ridiculous, folks. You know, I want to have a media that says, okay, if Obama does something great, you praise him. If he does something bad, you say, hey, look, I'm tired of a media where it's like, well, I'll only answer questions that are pre-approved. Who approved this? I want to know right now who bleeping approved this. I never gave approval for this question. Who gave him the ability to ask this question? Well, freedom of press is gone with Trump. No, it's been gone a long time ago, folks, when Hillary only allowed questions to be asked that she pre-approves. Trump is being on here like, yeah, he's talking to me with that Twitter. I can look up and I can see what he writes and what he tweets, and I know it's him saying it. It's not, well, let me see here. I got to make sure. I got to see if it's the real deal or if they cut and pasted it. Like a guy that was on Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. He said, I was there for like 4 hours, and they'd ask the question like 7 or 8 times and try to get you to slip up so that they would try to make, and they would cut it and paste it to make your opinion look like it's, he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. It's ridiculous. You know, if I say something on here and I mislead you, I say, okay, wait a minute here. Yeah, I need to correct this story. I said this and I was wrong, you know, whatever. Then I'll tell you, hey, I screwed up. Not the media for the majority that we have today. The media is not going to be biased to Trump. They're going to try to cut and paste his words to get their own agenda across. That's why they're fearing Mike Pence and him, because Mike Pence will go on ABC News and say, wait a minute, Trump was on the phone with a courtesy call to Taiwan, and you guys are, your panties are on fire. Obama goes down to a dictator's country where he takes gays and beats them and imprisons them and takes away their freedoms, and you don't say a word about that? The double standard, folks. and Trump's bypassing it. You know, just like Obama basically stated that he didn't need Congress and senators, he'll pass whatever he wants. Well, Obama doesn't need the media. If he wants to tell people what he wants to say, he can type it out. And there's no way of misrepresent or misinterpreting it. And if he puts his foot in the mouth, his foot in his mouth like he has done before and said things that, well, not, you know, he'll do that. That'll end up happening. But he will have done it. It won't be him saying one thing and the media trying to spin it. That's what I think they're really mad at, because they're going to have a hard time trying to take what he's saying and spin it. And if he does things right and it works, great. If it doesn't, okay. When did we stop calling an ace or a spade, or a club? You know, but don't worry, folks. You know, I don't know about you, but when I go to the store and I go to buy anything, prices have gone up. Okay, like I've looked into getting some inner monitors. They're like $50. Well, $49. They used to be like $39 and $29. My point, if we have the strongest dollar in 30 years, why are the things that I'm wanting or things that like grocery store items, why is everything going up in price? Whether it's commodities, whether it's like groceries, eggs, milk, butter, and cheese, or clothes, or anything. Why is it going up in price if we have a stronger dollar? It should be going down. I don't get it. But we have the strongest dollar in our history. We have the strongest dollar in history. Why is college so expensive? Why is everything expensive? Stuff should be going down if the dollar's strong. It's not. Well, don't worry, folks, because are the people that are going to take over this nation, you know, when I get older, this is who I get to look forward to running this country. They've actually gone out to campuses, one in particular, Washington University, and they asked these college students, and they've agreed to, they support like sanctuary campuses for like debt and like final exams, places you can go to get away and escape. Okay, folks, we're gonna have safe spaces and sanctuary campuses and cities for like reality. So like if you want to escape reality, you can just go there. You know, imagine if they had that back. Oh crap, man, I'm in a bunker. Okay, Sergeant, I think Hitler might attack us. Where's the safe space? We need to go to our sanctuary area where Hitler can't attack us. Help us. Where do we go, Sergeant? You kidding me? Well, who cares if we come in first or 50th? If we play baseball, we all get a trophy. I wonder if they do that with plays, you know, like where if you try out, they give you something to say, even if it's like two words, just so you can all feel inclusive. So you can't feel like, well, you know, we got to do something because we can't, because if they try out, you know, we just can't let them fail and not make the play. Yeah, if you try out for the football team and you don't make it, you become the towel boy or the water boy. That's if you want to do that, or the equipment manager, if you're not good enough, but you still want to support. You know, I don't get it. I don't understand these kids. You know what? Ever since Trump got elected, it's hard to study. I can't focus. Yeah, I want to tell that to my boss. Yeah, Obama's president, you know, so I'm having a hard time focusing and stuff. I think I need to stay home from work, but can you still pay me, you know, help me out here? Call up my credit card company. Yeah, I'm in my sanctuary city, so you can't, like, go after me for not paying my credit card bill or my cable bill or anything. Yeah, because, see, I moved my house into the university campus, which is a sanctuary city. So I'm free from anything. You can't do anything to me. I mean, Lord, when are they going to learn that life isn't all, you're not always going to win the trophy. You're not always going to win, you know, you're going to have hardships. You're going to have problems. You're going to go down the road and the car's going to break down. You're going to have issues. You're going to have bad days. You're going to stub your toe. It's not all candy canes and roses and lollipops, folks. It's about working through this stuff. That's what a marriage teaches you, how to work together with someone, how to come up and, okay, what do you, you know, what do you like? What are you into? What do you, you know, I like this. And it's compromise. That's what this world is about. We need to compromise. I don't, you know, there is compromise in this world, but you're not going to find a place in this world where, oh, you don't have to, I can understand, okay, your mom dies in a car wreck. I can understand, okay, yeah, we'll give you time because of that. I can understand that, but Trump's been elected president, so I need to have, I don't know if I can take my final. I just don't know. I mean, could I have done that for 8 years? I wish I could have done that. Okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to do because, you know what, my boss told me if I said that about Obama become president, that I just can't focus and I just can't work that and say, okay, well, there's the door. We'll find someone else. I mean, I could be wrong, but I mean, that's what I know they would do. You know, if you want to have benefits, you want to work, you want to get, you know, you want to have things, you got to earn it. Just like our forefathers. Our forefathers earned what they had. They built it. They made it. They didn't go to like a national homes and say, yeah, I want to have a home put over here. I paid for the lot. You want to build it for me? No. They had to cut down the logs, turn them into lumber, make housing. We become such a instant click society that people just expect stuff to be handed to them. And okay, well, I get the news so fast. I should have this. I should get. Everyone just assumes that everything should just be handed to them. Bang, bang, bang. It's crazy. And thank God we have a great commander-in-chief coming into the White House. I guess they're saying that they're like overrun and all this stuff, over budgeted on the new Air Force One, because I guess the other two that they have to keep them up, maintain them, is taking a lot of work and it's really costly. And Trump, they're wanting like $4 billion or something to Boeing is to build the new Air Force One, or I guess they have two of them, so that they're always having one ready to go. And he's like, cancel the order. I expect them to make some money, but $4 billion? I'd love to know how much that plane cost to build, you know, without a profit. Is that, and Trump's like, hey, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry. You know? But then if that was Obama, he's like, you're only going to spend $4 billion, really? There's not like a 20-person jacuzzi in there for Michelle and the kids? Finally having the president that's saying, okay, that when someone comes along and says, hey, we're building the presidential limousine, it's going to be like this. He goes, okay, yep, no. You refigure the cost. You can keep it. You can probably build it the same, but you can lower that price. Nuh-uh. And that's what's going on. And it's nice to have someone that's actually questioning cost of things. And why is it this much? And why is it that much? And I guess as someone that's used to having limits. Okay, well, folks, we're not made, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, it's not like there's an endless supply. You know, we got $20 coming in an hour, but we got 25 going out in expenditures. Okay, well, how do we drop it by a minimum of $5 just to break even, or even we need to drop it further so we can have some money coming in, some profit? It's nice to have a commander-in-chief coming in that's been a businessman that knows about checks and balances and knows that someday you're going to reach into that cookie jar and there ain't going to be none left because everyone took them all. But like, well, Ben Carson has been appointed to the housing and urban development position on Trump's staff. And there's a lot of people on the left that like going off on him forever and a day because he's not qualified and this and that. I'm like, okay, and you were going off about Trump being qualified to be president? You know, Trump was about as underqualified as you can get to be president. And where was the outrage? You know? Ben Carson's... So, he's overqualified for the job. But, hey, you know what? You know, that they can't... They don't know what to... They can't handle the fact that they have nothing, no basis. You know, there's no... You know, crap, what do we do when he's overqualified? But oh, we still gotta make it act like he doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't know what he's doing. It's just that, I don't know. I just love the fact, as I get back to it really quick, that Trump is using Twitter in a way. Because they're having a hissy fit because they don't know how to deal with it because they can't take things he says and twist them around and bend them. This is him saying what he's saying, and if he puts his foot in his mouth, he does. And if he says what he says, you can't dispute it. But then again, Obama's disputed things. Well, it's on record right here. I'll tell you right now, if you make under $250,000, I got cameras everywhere. I cannot deny this. Your taxes will not go up. Well, mine have. So, you know, they'll find a way around it somehow. It's just nice to have someone that's standing up for the average person. This is kind of a neat thing. Japan's SoftBank has agreed to invest. This was yesterday. It was announced with Trump. They're going to invest $50 billion into the U.S. in aiming to create 50,000 jobs. And I think that's awesome. And the thing you got to realize is we're going through a phase. And what people don't realize about the phase is this. Okay, I worked at a video store. Okay, there is some family videos, and there's a couple Blockbuster videos. Very few left. Why would me and Melissa want to get in our car, drive all the way to a video store to rent a video to come home to watch, when we can go on Netflix and sit there for an hour and still not find anything? Because it's what we do. But we have the option of watching something. You know, you can, it's technology changes. You want $15 an hour? I'll bring in the outdated technology where they can put a kiosk in there and they can have the customer order themselves. They can sit there, they can order for themselves. They can have one person, the manager, that's out front that can help anyone that needs help using the kiosk. But that's old, that's technology that they could have had out 10 years ago. But guess what? We want $15 an hour. No, you need to find training. That's the problem we have. We need to update the training. If there's great jobs, if you have training in electrical or welding, or if you can make good money if you have a degree and know how to be a CNC machine operator. You got to work. It's not sitting in some cush office, which is not, Trump is busting his butt and has for years. He just doesn't sit in an office. He works. Don't let anyone fool you. He does not have an easy job. But times are changing. They have now, I guess there's two Amazon stores where you take your phone, you hook it up to your Amazon account, you have a cart, anything you take and you put it by your phone, recognizes it, you put it in the cart, and you walk out, and then you're billed. There's no cashiers, there's nothing. And you can delete it from your thing if you need to, and you put it back, and you know, and of course, if you walk out with something that's been deleted, it catches it and stuff. There's safety measures that they're, but they don't need cashiers. You know, just like they don't need $15 an hour people. Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please? They don't need people. You know, I mean, I guess it'd be kind of fun. I mean, it'd be weird going to Good Burger and not having a guy behind the counter asking if you want a Good Burger. Welcome to Good Burger. Home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order, please? You know, it'd be, but we got times are changing, folks. And Japan SoftBank is going to put $50 billion and invest it into the U.S. to help create jobs. Yep. We need to have a nation of people that are willing to get their hands dirty. And now, well, no. Trump's elected. I gotta go to class. You know what? In culinary school, they'd be like, buckle up. Pucker up, buttercup. Lord help you. Everyone needs to go to culinary school. I'd fix this because you don't have a chance. Okay. You're in. If class starts that day at 7 a.m., you're in at 7 a.m. You line up for brigade. If you're missing something, your pants aren't ironed. Okay. Just want to let you know, you go home. Your pants aren't ironed. Tomorrow, you better come back here in full brigade, uniform ironed, and everything. And some are lucky and they'll have like an ironing board somewhere and they'll just have you go up there and iron your pants or whatever. Cause I had to do that. And I'm sitting there with a tour guide and David Hale, one of my instructors. And he's like, this is what happens when you don't iron your chef pants. And I'm sitting there in underwear ironing and the whole tour group's going by, but you learn from that. You learn. And I'm like, hey, But we had a chef that, okay, they would go up and they like, okay, and if you got stubble, okay, here's the rusty razor, go shave. You learned discipline. You know, you learned. Okay, we're not your mom. School starts about December 7th or 8th. I am a chef instructor. I have not seen my family or been home for a family Christmas in probably 20 years since I got into this business. You're probably not going to ever have a Thanksgiving or Christmas with your family unless you get out of this business, as long as you're in it. So get used to it. If you're someone that has to have Christmas and be with your family, this is not the business for you. And that's the thing about cooking. Most of the people that I know that are truly successful chefs, that's what they do for a living. They're in at 6 in the morning till midnight, 7 days a week, cooking in a kitchen. They don't have a life. They don't have any hobbies. They don't do anything else. You know? But on the other extreme, you have the people that are like, now, like, well, you know, you mean I actually had to, I mean, you can't get me out of this, like, final, you know, like, I, we got to have a sanctuary campus. I mean, I gotta switch universities. I gotta get a sanctuary campus so I can like hide from my professor. I mean, that's the other extreme. You know, I used to work tons, and then when one of my mentors, my inspiration, someone I looked up to, ended his life, I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I, you know, for what? I wanna help people. I wanna give back. I wanna, you know, and that's what I do. And I get to do what I love to do, cooking, but I also get to do other things, and you know, and that's, life is about balance, folks. And like I've said before, if one party was so great, every presidential election, that party's candidate would become president, whether it's Republican or Democrat, and the House and Senate would be controlled by that party, Republican or Democrat. And in the midterm election, that the House and Senate would be controlled by that party. And it would be that way all the time, because the Democrats are so great that this country's doing so well. That's why we have a Democratic president every year, year after year after year. We have a Democratic controlled House and Senate every year, year after year after year. Every 4 years when we can vote for a president, we vote for the Democrat. Every 4 years during the presidential election, we vote for a Democratic controlled House and Senate. And every 2 years on the primaries, we vote for Democratic controlled House and Senate because they're so great. It doesn't work like that. And it doesn't, we don't vote Republicans every single year, year after year. We need to have a balance. Trump's not going to get everything he wants. And he's not going to do everything perfect. You know, this SoftBank is a start. But okay, let's say it was going to bring 1 million jobs. So what if no one wants to work? Everyone just wants to run to their safe space because they're offended. I don't get it, you know? Like, our marriage is a compromise. Well, do you want to have... We have a cat now. My cat, it loves me, but it likes my wife too. But except for when it goes to get shots at the vet, like it did today, and it, like, wants to kill everybody. I think it's because that's where he lost his manhood. But anyway, it's a compromise, okay? Let's get a smaller tree and see how he does with it so we don't come home to having the big tree knocked over, which can happen with cats. You know, this whole world is a compromise. And that's what, you know, we have this idea, a lot of people, where, you know, where I'm a liberal and Trump's wrong 100% and Hillary would have been right 100%, and... Or you have these conservatives where Trump's going to be 100% right and Hillary would have been 100% wrong. Hillary would have been 99% wrong, in my opinion. There might be one thing she might have done right. But Trump's not going to be 100% right. He's going to put his foot in his mouth sometimes. He's going to screw up sometimes. Yeah, perfect. But something's got to end with these kids who just think that... Oh, well, you know, you're just going to, I don't know what, oh, wow, I just need to, Professor, how you will not believe it, man. You know, my coffee maker didn't work today, and, oh, man, I couldn't get to McDonald's or Starbucks, and, wow, I just need to have more time to study for this exam. And I mean, when I was on campus, I went to the bookstore, and they said, okay, well, they had, like, optional books, and you have like, this is like the main book required, and these are optionals that you can get to read to help you. And a bunch of us, like 7 or 8 of us, didn't get this one book because it was optional. Well, the professor's like, no, it's not, because there was a test over that book that like 7 or 8 of us didn't get. And I said, what do you? I said, well, when I went to the bookstore, they said this book was. These were the required readings. This was an optional reading. This book right here. And when they looked it up, he called the bookstore and everything. He goes, yeah, it's listed as optional. And I said, So what happened is we had to buy the, we got a copy of the book and we had to read it and then do the test on it, you know. But they didn't give us a pass. They said, okay, you're going to get the book. You're going to learn the material and you're going to be tested on it. And that's, we didn't sit there and go, well, you know, it said it was optional. So I shouldn't have to, no. If you're going to pass this class, it might have been stated as optional, but it's not. Everyone else got the book. Everyone else read it. Why can't you? And we did. We sucked it up. And we just, okay, I got like 3 days to read this book and study, but we did it. And I got like a B in the class. So not too bad. But it's how the system works. You know? This notion that everything Hillary Clinton was going to do would be 100% great and everything Trump would do would be 100% bad. That's, I mean, I could see if Trump went down to let's say, not Trump, let's say Obama went down to Cuba and said, okay, yeah, you're going to change the way you do, the way you treat these people. You're going to change the way these people are treated. You're going to give them freedom. You know, I'll do business with you if you start treating these people better. You start doing this, and I will go to the UN or whoever I have to ensure that other countries boycott you until you start treating the people better. Hopefully, we can squeeze off there to where they say, okay, heck, we got 10 nations now that are going to stop doing business with Cuba until humanitarian things change. Then I could say, okay, he was going there for the right reasons. Well, when all the plans he had to help out with Cuba and to do stuff for Cuba and to do business with them had nothing in it was to make it better for the Cuban people. Sorry. It's amazing how all these people that are pro-gay and pro-this and pro-transgender and all this, they say they support these people that would take them and kill them. Got about 22 minutes left in the program, folks, and thank you all so much for tuning in. And I'm going to get into this. This is a great story because, you know, I grew up in an area where no one did without, especially this is a big thing in the South. That you don't let your neighbors, you will cut back on what you have to ensure that you can survive and your neighbor can survive. You will not let your neighbor starve. You will not let your communities starve. When I grew up, okay, I can't, you know, hey, guess what? My friend's having a birthday, so let's have a, here, I got some party supplies you can have to use them. Hey, we're doing this. I outgrew this. Here, you can use it. Have it. You know, now it's all about what can I give for? What can I give, you know? And Robin McFadden, mother of three, a lady of Georgia, was in a Publix. It's a grocery store. And she was doing some couponing and ended up seeing Jeff Foxworthy. And he came up behind her and he goes, watch this. And he swiped his card and paid for her groceries. Then it's only $25. It's not about that it's $25. It's about what, it's about the gesture. It's about doing it. You know, how hard is it? I remember I was at a place and because of some rights, I can't mention any names due to privacy concerns and stuff. I'm not legally allowed to, but I was at this place and I went up to this lady and they're playing some jazz music and I picked her up. She's an older lady. And I started dancing with her and about like a year and a half ago. And when it was done, I went back and she was in tears. Since her husband died, she's never had anyone come up and ask her to dance or dance with her. And that made her day. I could have given her $1 million and it probably wouldn't have made her as happy as I did. I didn't know that. I just felt led to do it, you know. And Jeff Foxworthy, being blessed with what he has and what God's given him, he just felt led to do it, even if it was $25. And it's just great to see that, because one of my friends, one time, I think it was last year, She was at Kmart and went to go get her stuff at a layaway. And when she went to get her stuff at a layaway, they said, "I'll get your stuff." And she goes, "No, I haven't paid for it." She goes, "Someone came in here and bought everyone's layaway. Every single person at Kmart had all the layaway paid for." And she's like, she was like, "You have no idea." I'm like, I was taking my last bit of money that I had to go get this stuff on at a layaway, and it was, you know, it just made her day. And it's just incredible, 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 you know, that stuff like that, those things happen and go on. And this is cool. I have a friend that lives in Austin, Texas. He's lived in the Houston area, Austin area, Tyler, Texas. Greg, if you're listening, he's probably working, but if he's listening, man, God bless you, my friend. There were hundreds of bikers that get together in Texas from all over, and they bring Christmas toys to abused children and needy families that can use it. And it's tons of bikers, and they ride their bikes in, and they've been doing it for 27 years, and it's to helping hand home and to deliver the gifts to these kids. And it just, they do it out of the goodness of their heart, because when you think of bikers, what do you think of? You think of all these like Hell's Angels and bad people. And if I had a Harley Davidson, if I rode a motorcycle, which I don't, they have bike riders where it's a Christian group, and they go out, you know, after church on a Sunday, and they'll go ride or whatever, you know. So bikers are not all bad. And it's just amazing to see these people go out and do this. It's just awesome, you know, because it's just an amazing thing to see with all this stuff going on in the world that there is still God's still in charge. Sorry, folks. Sorry to burst your bubble, but God's still in control. And it's just awesome to see those guys go out there and do that and help out the kids. And, you know, because for me, like, I've been thinking, like, what can my wife get me for Christmas or whatever? And it's like, you know, that some things we got. I mean, for me, it's about seeing Molly's face light up. Because that's just to see the, because I know what it was like for me when I opened it up and, like, a sweater. Really? You know, and then when it's like, then what really gets me pissed off is when I look and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. If I would have kept that in the box pristine, how much is that worth now? Not that I would have taken and done that, but, you know, I'm like, I tore that box up in about 2 seconds. I'm like, give me a show. I'm going to play with it. You know, but now, because back then people didn't take the toys and just put them on the shelf in the box. But, you know, that's what drives me. I mean, there's some things I'm going to get my, I did get myself sort of like, it's a joint Christmas gift for people, because there's like a Cutlery Corner knife channel thing that we get on TV, and every once in a while they sit there and they have knives and stuff, and they have like a knife sharpening system. And I'm like, I'm going to see if I can get that. And my card actually got charged, because I looked at trying to get my wife a red knife on there, because that's her favorite color, and she wanted one for work, and turned out that they didn't have it, and because, like, if they have it in stock, they bill you. If they don't, they don't. So this got billed to me, so, and it's really rather inexpensive, and it's really, really good. So get some of my knives sharpened finally, but, you know, for me, it's just about seeing the joy and the giving back to people and just seeing the smile on their face and like, oh, look what I got. And just to see these bikers come out of the woodwork for 28 years and giving toys to abused and needy kids, it's just amazing. But there's a sign that's going out that really gets me, that really pisses me off. Because they take Make America Great, they take that from Trump, and they say Make Christmas Great Again. Don't go to church, or like skip church and all this. I'm like, those people need the Lord more than anybody. Skip church. And I actually would love to find out what the organization is and write them and say, well, I will, because my church actually, they don't have services on Christmas, so you can spend it with your family. You know, because some churches actually do that. They used to have them on Sunday, and then so many people complained, you know, and all this stuff that they, well, to you know, with having like all my cousins, aunts, and uncles coming in from all over and trying to get to church and all this, that they do it like Sunday night or the night before Christmas, whatever. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just sad that you're going to think you're going to make Christmas great again. Okay, if you're atheist, you wouldn't celebrate Christmas. Because Christmas is about the birth of Christ. Unless I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just... Okay, folks. Make Easter great again. Don't celebrate... I mean, if you said, okay, don't celebrate Christmas at all, then okay, then it would make sense. Because then you're at least being logical, you know? Don't celebrate the resurrection of Christ and his crucifixion by celebrating Easter. Okay, but if you say don't, you know, make Easter great again, but don't go into church, well, then Easter is about the resurrection. It's about Christ, just like Christmas is about the birth of Christ. It's kind of contradictory, you know, that's how I feel. Because if they would have been real, if they would have been true to their thinking, they would have said, okay, don't celebrate Christmas at all, but, you know, let's celebrate Christmas, but we'll just leave out the Jesus part, even though that's the only part of it that makes it Christmas. They don't even make sense, so, and I don't try to understand them either. As we move on, folks, the wait is finally over. After 6 agonizing games and weeks, Purdue University finally has come out with their choice to replace Daryl Hazel as the new head coach. Jeff Brohm of Western Kentucky University, he's taken the Hilltoppers 30-10 in 3 seasons, going to a bowl game every year. He's incredible. He was actually a quarterback in the NFL for, I think, 8 seasons total with like 6 teams. And he just really didn't do much. And he was in the one season of the FXL, the one that the WWE, Vince McMahon did that football league that tanked. It bombed. I mean, no one watched it. It was so bad. He was like the big star because I think their team won that year, the championship, the only year they had it. And he was like the Pete Rose of the Joe Namath of that thing. And for the 1 year, no one watched it. It was bad. But he switched to college football, and it's been history making ever since. And we have a local TV station, WLFI News Channel 18, and they covered the story, and there were tons of people that went, oh, here we go again, we're gonna press our luck with just some who knows guy, some unknown. But I'm like, and I ripped into someone because of two people, me and this other guy, said basically the same thing. Well, first of all, he's 30-10 in 3 seasons. How do you really think that, like, Nick Saban's just going to leave Alabama just to go to Purdue? You think you're going to take an established coach that's successful at a university and just, yeah, I think I'm just going to up and leave the successful? It'd be like saying Joe Paterno. It'd be like having Joe Paterno just leave Penn State to go somewhere else. Nah. If they're successful and they're established, they're not going to want to leave. You're going to have to find someone that's showing some very, very good promise. He is exceptional. He's doing some offensive things. And go with him and give him a shot. Whoever got this job was told and knows by now, they're not starting from the ground floor. They're starting from the basement. They're starting about six floors under. They're going to have, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's not going to be, it's going to be a road. They're going to have a lot, a road to hoe. They're going to have to do a lot. It's not going to, you know, they're going to have to bust their butt. They're going to have to do a lot. They're going to have to, okay, we're going to have to try to take and work with the players we got and turn them around and hopefully get them doing some things right so that we can sit there and we can sit there. Okay, hey, look, we're doing good. We're 6-6. Maybe we can, hey, I'm going in the right direction and I don't got decent players. Imagine if I get good players. You come to this university, I'll take you to some bowls. You perform for me, I'll get you to win. And it's going to take time. People just assume that, well, look what Tiller did. Well, Joe Tiller turned around Purdue University, but he had great players. Jim Coletto was an incredible, incredible, incredible recruiter. He could recruit. The problem is he couldn't keep his players on. His players were going out to the Harry's Chocolate Shop and to the yacht club and drinking all night. And that's Jeff Brohm is going to be a decent coach. It's going to take him a while when he's going to have to start from the dang sixth basement and try to get, okay, I ain't got that great of players. How am I going to recruit good people? I need to get people to say, okay, hey, look at what he did at Western Kentucky. I want to, you know. He's going to have to get rid of everybody and start from ground zero. You know, this is, and also this is a new athletic director decision. This is not like Morgan Burke's decision. You know, give the man a chance. You know, it's not like I expected a top-notch. I mean, if it wasn't going to be someone like him, which I'm excited for, I thought it might be like a really good offensive coordinator, you know, from the NFL saying, hey, I want a shot, you know, that whatever. So I think it's going to be good. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And you got to, and hopefully he can take who he's got and turn him around and get him at least decent enough to where he can say, okay, look what I'm doing with these players that aren't that great. Wait till I get great players. Wait till we get this program built up and we have a philosophy. And this is, you know, because I would love to have him become a, you know, a tenured coach where he's been here 8 or 9 years and he's been successful, you know, and it's not really that hard to recruit for the longest time at Purdue University for women's basketball. We're the 1999 national champions. We've done great things. Now, pretty much what Purdue has to show for it, besides the men's basketball team doing okay, is guess what? The volleyball team is damn successful. We have one of the best volleyball teams. There was like 4 years where we were in the NCAA tournament, and pretty much if we were either in the Elite Eight, if not in the Final Four, almost every year. We were like one of the top volleyball teams in the nation. You know? We've had slump in the football team. It's time to get it back, and I hope he's the man that can do it. I think he can. Now on to European football. As many of you probably know, Manchester United dropped another draw, 1-1 to Everton, where they conceded another late goal within like 2 minutes at the end of the game. And they are now, and now they got another point instead of three. You know, we're 21 points in sixth place And Chelsea is first with 34 points. And the one thing the announcer said, and this is a good point, I want to kind of get into this while I got about 4 minutes and a half left, is how do we deal with this? We have one of the highest shot on goal percentages, but one of the, if not the lowest percentages of goals made. Okay, if you're getting 30 shots on goal every game, let's say, but you're only making one goal in the whole game, how do you turn that around? Because there are teams that are having their shots on goal average is lower, but they're making more goals. They're scoring more. They're having, you know, and that's something that they got to work on. Are the shots on goal, are they too, how would you say this, like predictable? Are they not? Because I think they need to get their speed up. I mean, I guess I'm used to Manchester United has always been known for attacking, and all of a sudden, ding, 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 bang, it's in the goal. I'm like, what in the? And I wish we would have had instant replay where I could just pause it and go back, because, you know, it would happen like so fast that now it's like, okay, gee, do what? For like a half a second, they debate whether should I pass the ball or should I go for goal. And sometimes they don't even have a chance to go for it because one of the other team's players gets in the way to prevent it. You know, you should be just, if you have a shot on goal, you should be just going for it, not even thinking about it. And I think some of these chances that they're having are just so predictable that that's why they have a very high percentage of shots on goal, one of the highest in the league. But their goals made and their shots made are so low. And I think a lot of it, because you can say what you want about Louis van Gaal or Jose Mourinho, but a lot of it falls on the players. You need to find out, he's giving you a setup, like this is how I want the team on the pitch. And you got to figure out what works. Now, I can understand if you're saying, okay, well, you know, I'm better in the midfield than a center half. I'm better, you know, whatever. Then you need to say, hey, I don't know why he likes. The only reason I can say I like Mauro Anfernee is because he can usually do things that would have a person thrown out of the game and have 10 red cards, and he doesn't even get a yellow card. That's about all. He hasn't scored. He hasn't done really anything for Manchester United. Why not? Schweinsteiger. Yeah, he has.
Yeah, but he didn't last game.
No, but Mourinho doesn't want him. He's basically told him that. And since he has no plans to go anywhere right now until, you know, he's played him. Just because he feels like he had no other options and all this. But I don't know. It's just one of those things that they got to learn to play together. And I think they need to get like they all have their own, they all share like, they have like big bedrooms with like five beds, and they all share the bedrooms, and then they have to share one bathroom, so they all have to learn how to work together so that they can learn, okay. Because I think a lot of the shots as I end this program, they're just so predictable. You know? And just like we got to give Jeff Brom a chance at Purdue, we got to give Trump a chance and see what he does and wait till the end. Okay. It's been 2 years. Has things changed? Have they got better? The liberal media will never do that. And with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.